line. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We got the latest on the Freedom Convoy, which is now crossing into 2 full weeks of occupation in and around the Parliament building of Ottawa, Canada. So we've got the latest on that coming up here, and of course your calls and thoughts on whatever you want, plus some interesting cryptocurrency-related news. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
So to start things out here, there's a little bit of good news and a little bit of bad news coming out of Ottawa. Of course, the protest continues. The convoy of what may be hundreds, some say thousands of drivers have come through, and many have stayed in Ottawa, Canada for the last 2 weeks. Some are saying that they are willing to stay on for weeks more if need be until all COVID-19 related restrictions are dropped. And I presume that means in every province or territory of Canada.
They are, after all, long-haul truckers.
That's true.
Yep. And so as they are there doing their thing, and they're just, you know, having a good time. They're playing hockey games. They got, like, bounce houses for the kids. There's dance parties in the streets.
Crazy, weird techno music.
Yep. And things have escalated, unfortunately, of course, because the government gang, that's what they do. They escalate things. They make things violent and
dangerous. I think that's the only thing they know how to do.
And they threaten people. And so they came out in Ottawa, the city. The mayor on Sunday issued a state of emergency, and that's when they started to come around and confiscate people's gas canisters. That's when they started to threaten and arrest people for bringing in gas cans to try to bring in quote-unquote material support.
Yeah, it was something like they're charging him with mischief, which is just sounds mischief, absolutely yeah. crazy. Like, what evidence do you have of criminal mischief? Because you have a gas can with gas in it, maybe.
Well, in a lot of cases, they have empty gas cans and or gas right. cans with water in them just right. to troll the police. So that's some of the kind of the interesting developments we've seen over the last week. But as of the last 24 hours, last night we discussed Give, Send, Go, which is the alternative, one of the alternatives to the GoFundMe. Now, for listeners,
isn't it Go Fraud Me?
Right. The GoFundMe people, they had raised $10 million through GoFundMe. GoFundMe froze the account. It was $10 million Canadian, by the way. They froze the account, and then GoFundMe ultimately decided they were going to cancel the entire thing, although they had given out $1 or $1.5 million already to the fundraisers organizers. Mm-hmm. But then we found out the TD Bank froze that $1.5 million.
Wait, really?
Uh-huh. When it hit the bank account.
Wow.
Now supposedly they hired a lawyer, they got their attorneys to talk to TD Bank, they got them to release the funds.
This is like a perfect example of why we need cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I mean, by the way, the crypto fundraiser hit 21 million. Or 21 bitcoins, not quite 21 million.
That's still a lot.
Still a lot of Bitcoin
money. Yeah.
So they hit their goal.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling a lot of people don't understand the importance of cryptocurrencies, and you know, if there was ever, I guess there probably have been other examples like the WikiLeaks case. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is how the governments react, and this is why you need cryptocurrency. Even if this isn't your particular issue, even if you don't care about, you know, the truck drivers or, you know, the mandates or any of this right now, what happens when they do something that you do care about? Like they start taking your kids or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, you know, there's any number of things that they could start doing next week that you will care about.
Right.
And how are you going to stop it? You're not going to be able to if you continue to use the banking system.
Yeah, if you're relying on centralized banks, that is a plan to fail.
Yeah, and now they're calling protest terrorism, but the Department of Homeland Security just released a statement saying that people distributing misinformation are terrorists.
Oh, really?
Yes, they're domestic terrorists now, and they're not talking about Fauci, the king of misinformation. They're talking about people who are simply wrong or simply disagree with the misinformation that is distributed through official channels.
Right. Misinformation is now defined as anything that is contrary to what the government says.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they need to rename the Department of Homeland Security to the Ministry of Truth.
It's almost there, right? We're pretty much to that point. Except they've got the tech companies doing their bidding for them. So instead of the department themselves doing the censoring or whatever, they have private corporations that are essentially doing that work.
Well, semi-private. I mean, it's certainly interesting that the day that Facebook was launched, a DARPA project that was supposed to gather information on citizens was canceled. And if you look at the descriptions of the two projects, they're almost identical. So,
things that make you go,
Yes. Facebook may well be simply a renamed DARPA project.
So I can't remember the details, but I think Facebook and Google are both, if I recall correctly, started out with government, with funding from the government. With, I don't know which agency it was, but there was an agency that provided them seed funding. So it's not beyond belief.
Yeah. And, it's an easy dodge. Oh, the government isn't allowed to give up your personal information. Great. Let it form a private corporation, nurture it along, and let that private corporation then be perfectly willing to give up, so-called private corporation, be perfectly willing to give up your private information.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we've brought in stories covering, I think it was it Switzerland, a company that basically... They designed like encryption equipment, like sending like, I don't know if it was encrypted fax or encrypted, for certainly encrypted phone communication. But it was aimed at, governments, right? So, when the UK wants to talk to France, well, they'd go to this company, supposedly an independent company, but really it was backed by like the CIA or something like that.
So they're listening in.
Yeah. So what you think is encrypted private communication between France, and the UK is actually being intercepted by the US government because it's.
Well, and of course, the CIA was just in the news as well. I don't know if you guys have seen these headlines all over the place that now the CIA has been revealed to have been, guess what, spying on Americans without a warrant. And
not know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Well, now it's the CIA that's being revealed. Of course, the Edward Snowden revealed the NSA years ago.
And the CIA is supposedly, if they played by their own rules, would not be operating domestically.
Correct.
They're not permitted to.
Supposedly, I thought it was
The CIA.
I thought it was like
is the one that's only permitted to operate overseas.
Correct.
Although of course that doesn't stop them.
I know this. I know there's one of these or one or more of these agencies are prohibited from operating in the U.S. But I didn't think it was the CIA.
That's the CIA.
But I was to say I might be wrong.
The Edward Snowden posted about it today. He says CIA mass bulk surveillance has been carried out, quote, entirely outside the statutory framework and without any judicial, congressional, or even executive branch oversight. The nature and full extent was withheld even from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. These are, according to the ACLU, newly declassified documents that are revealing that the CIA has been secretly conducting massive surveillance programs capturing Americans' supposedly private information.
But the deep state is just a conspiracy theory, and people never conspire. That's why nobody's ever charged with conspiracy.
Well, I'm sure these CIA agents...
Which is interesting, considering that I have been indicted for conspiracy, so I guess that's just another conspiracy theory.
Surely the CIA will be brought up on charges right away, and their agents will be put in jail cells for violating their orders and... No, they're not going to be.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, definitely not going
to
happen.
Laws are for the little people. Right. They're not for the officials.
Yeah, they can break all of their rules anytime they want to and face little more than a tongue lashing in public by a senator or two, and because that's apparently a couple senators that revealed this. And the rest of us will go to prison if we break their rules. So the number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. But it's quite clear that these people don't care about the Constitution or any kind of ground rules that they're supposed to obey. They just do whatever it is they want to do. And eventually, sometimes they get caught for it.
But nothing happens.
And then they keep doing what they want.
Yeah.
It's It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open here if you want to join us, whether it's talking about the CIA spying, surprise, on Americans, or...
That's just a conspiracy theory.
Or what's going on in Ottawa, which we didn't get to yet. So I do definitely want to update people on the latest on the Trucker Freedom Convoy. On the way here, the number 603-283-6160. You can also bring up whatever's on your mind. Ian, Nobody, and Chris in the studio tonight. Also, Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. So if you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty, well, freedomsphoenix.com has them. And they have the Daily Dispatch. You can sign up for that, and you'll stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. We'll go back into the CIA story here, plus, again, the Freedom Convoy. We got some crypto news. Lots to talk about here tonight, but first... He's Dave Ridley, calling us from RidleyReport.com. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys.
What's on your mind?
I've never had to call you and complain about a cryptocurrency. None of the coins, none of the thousands of coins that exist until now. And I have a serious complaint about Voyager token. Are you familiar with this?
No, but there are a ton of scams out there. So what's this one?
Yeah, this one is a little bit more established, and it's been around a while. But it, first of all, they're being sued for alleged hidden fees. Mm-hmm. I don't know that much about that, but the problem I had with them was they took their coin one day and they just said, "Well, you can't use this coin anymore. You got 1 month to sort of switch over to this other coin we're going to have, and then after that, the coins you hold will be useless." Well, not everybody checks, constantly their coins, right? And an investment is supposed to be something that you just let it sit there, right?
Right.
You might want to check on it, but you shouldn't have to watch it like a babysitter. And so, yeah, one day I log in and all of my Voyager tokens were useless.
Wow. And so they literally only gave people a month to make the changeover. A lot of times when these things happen in the crypto world, and they do happen, this isn't unheard of, they'll upgrade the system or whatever, and then everybody's got to move their coins. They will be the path to upgrade will always be open, right? Like, so that way if you come 6 months later or a year later or 2 years later, there's still a path to do. You're saying they completely closed down the option to switch it over?
Essentially.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, is this an actual cryptocurrency? It's
And I by the way, also I contacted them 3 times for help. Like, hey, what do I do here? They wouldn't even respond.
Oof, bad sign. Yeah, this is to answer your question, Chris, apparently this is an Ethereum token. So no, it is not an actual cryptocurrency. It is a token on the Ethereum blockchain, as many other tokens exist. Currently ranked at 122 of the global total market cap rankings.
Wow. That's pretty high to be engaged in shenanigans.
Yeah, and
it's not the kind of shenanigans that sometimes are associated with. I mean, people are associated with we're used to the idea of someone in their basement, pretending like they have a thing going, and it's not really. But this is like a fairly major exchange type of operation, that was doing this.
Wow.
That's pretty horrific.
So what is this thing's use case? Why is it interesting? Why did you initially decide to get into it?
I watched a guy named Supoman, who is a crypto commentator, and he recommended it. So I bought just a little bit, the 2017 era when it was called BitQuents. Then they changed it to something else. Then they changed it to Voyager Token. It went through a lot of, it came along when the market crashed, but it did survive, kept changing. But changing is not supposed to mean you change in the sense that you can't cash out your coins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's bad. And, giving people notice, how are you supposed to do that when you don't even know everybody who holds your token?
Right, you have no way of reaching them.
There's no reason to assume that you're going to have an email list of all the people holding your token. Right. Quite the opposite. You should assume that you're not going to have such a list.
These tokens are available on decentralized exchanges. Mm. So anyone who wants to can go and acquire these things with any Ethereum or any other Ethereum token. You can go to Uniswap and just swap out, and there's not even a login required for that.
A lot of my thoughts on this are, if you don't have a use case for it, you probably shouldn't be investing in it.
I agree.
It's like, if you can't come up with a good reason to use it, like outside of, oh, it's an investment, it probably doesn't have a lot of use for anybody else either.
Yeah, that is important.
I should clarify that Supo Man was actually right about Bitcoin. It was a good, it was a pretty good coin, and they did some good stuff, and they just got hit by the market, and they did try to take care of their customers for a long period of time, but over time, it is, you kept becoming new, and new owners or whatever be bought out, and it was a good thing at first, and it did go up in value. But again, when Voyager token got a hold of it,
value at first because they're being pumped up on purpose by their advocates. We've seen this happen time and time again. Like we just talked about the quote-unquote Ethereum Max token just a couple of, a week ago, which was they had hired Kim Kardashian and some other influencers to pump their token back in May of last year. And then what do you know? It crashed immediately after that was done. So whoever it was that was the founder of the token probably sold at the top of the pump. And a bunch of other people got left holding the bag, and now there's a lawsuit about that. Again, you have to ask the question, what is the purpose of the token that you're looking at, or the cryptocurrency that you're looking at? Mm-hmm. Just because price go up doesn't mean that it has any kind of fundamentals that are going to continue its growth on into the future. So just because somebody recommends something online, is not a reason to buy it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And even things that do have a good use case, I mean, it happens with all kinds of businesses, not just crypto businesses, where, something has a good business plan, good management, good execution, and then somebody else buys them out, and the next thing
goes in the toilet.
They go to hell.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I tend to like to focus on things that are, like the major merchant providers are tools are enable you to like accept it in a business, like things like that, just because it's like, well, if nobody's accepting it, right, then there's probably not going to be a lot of usefulness for it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe there are in some cases like Monero, because it's a privacy friendly coin. There are certain markets that privacy is a very, very, important thing. And so therefore it might have some value. Right. But a lot of these cryptos, they're not that different from, the next crypto. So
especially if they're an Ethereum token,
because if it's not
even a cryptocurrency, it's just,
if you can't spend it again, where's the usefulness, right? Like why put your money into something that doesn't even have the fundamental tools to use it.
Dave, thanks for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate it. This, unfortunately, is a lesson that a lot of people, learn the hard way. And thank you. I appreciate the discussion here. Thanks for bringing it up. The number is 603-283-6160. Do your due diligence. Do some research. If you don't have even a grasp of what the thing is you're getting into, don't do it, in my opinion. I know we're not financial advisors or anything like that, but I think that's, a good suggestion.
Mm, yeah.
The number here is 603-283-6160, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. You can share your thoughts, whether it's crypto or CIA. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live, you can join the show here. You can take control of the airwaves. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Nobody, and Chris are here with you tonight. And we've got more to say coming up. I want to dig a little further into the CIA story because that's big news. There's also the continuing developments in Ottawa, Canada, and now with Ontario province declaring a state of emergency. They're, again, preparing to...
Quick, somebody, panic.
...crack down on the brave drivers and their supporters who are there occupying the streets in Ottawa. So we can tell you more about that. Of course, phones are open, and you can bring up whatever you want. We ended up talking about crypto, questionable crypto tokens and cryptocurrencies out there. There literally are thousands of these things. That means there's a lot of bad opportunities out there, and it's hard to know in advance what's going to work out and what's not, because you don't know what the market's ultimately going to do. But there are some things that clearly have no purpose to exist beyond the whole pump now, and dump thing.
When you say
they're looking good and then they blow up the space station and they're trapped on the other side of the galaxy and they've got to get home and it's going to take them 70 years.
When you say good opportunities, you're talking about for the founders of these, tokens and cryptos and things, right? Not the end users, not the people who are investing in them, correct?
Well, no, I meant the investors. I mean, there are some opportunities out there. Whether they'll pan out or not is, a whole other question. But again, if you don't know what you're getting into, and that's not to say you have to know programming, like you don't have to audit the code necessarily, but you should at least read a little bit about the thing and get a grasp for what it's trying to do and for if it fills some sort of a market need, because the market can be kind of irrational in a lot of ways.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, can it ever?
Like the three of us, we value the idea of privacy. So I think it's fair to say that we like privacy coins, right? We like Monero, instance, or Pirate Coin, or whatever the other, those are probably two of the better ones.
I like privacy coins. There's always one big question mark in my brain about privacy coins, which is, if you can't look at the blockchain and see what's happening, how do you know that transfers have really been made?
And how do you know how much is coming out of the mining process? And there's a lot of question marks about that.
That worries me.
But, as much as we like the idea of privacy, the marketplace says Monero is the number 47th coin right now. So, I mean, it's not it's barely in the top 50 as far as market cap is concerned.
Which is crazy, because there's more of a use case for Monero than there is for
what's above it.
Cryptos,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And look, okay, fine. I get it. It's not, it maybe doesn't have more value currently than, say, Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or even Dash, but certainly it has, more value than every other crypto that's out there.
Even Bitcoin Cash is about to fall out of the top 25, and that used to be a top 10 coin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dash is somewhere around, 70, 80. Well, let me see if I can find where. 94. I mean,
at least with Dash, there's tools for merchants to accept it, right? Yep. And they're widespread, right? Whereas most of these coins, where do you spend them? I mean, you can't. You first have to convert it to something else. Right. So
a lot of them are just focused around technology that they're not actually intended to be used as money or as currency.
Do they
or
have a use case though? Like, I mean, what good are they? Like, why would I want to have them?
Well, that's something you have to look at each one of them and ask that question.
I guess,
for instance, like Dash, which is, they call it that because it's digital cash. It's intended to be used as a currency in real life. They've got some of the coolest stuff going on. Like, I pay attention to what goes on with Dash. They just came out with a beta test of a know your customer less, meaning there is no supposedly know your customer requirements, MasterCard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think I heard about this.
Yeah. It literally just got announced within the last 24 to 48 hours. Now, the physical card isn't yet available, but they're going to have that, supposedly. So it's like one of those online things.
I'm kind
of
curious how that works because,
it's like an online thing.
Anytime you integrate anything with a banking system, which is highly regulated.
Yeah, I can't imagine how they did this.
How do you comply?
And I don't know.
I have some suspicions. It probably comes down to how much they will permit to be utilized through the card.
I did see something about a $1,000 limit.
Yeah, if it's limited sufficiently, it might be, it might technically comply with the rules. So
whatever they've done, it's something I'm very curious to learn more about. So they're coming out with some really interesting applications and, you know, making it easier to spend crypto in real life, which is cool. But again, number 94. So the market is, the market doesn't value, the crypto market doesn't value the same things that we necessarily do. Let's talk to Sam. He's in Ohio. Sam, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you if you thought when New Hampshire gets independence, if that will severely weaken the dollar because of how weak it already is.
Doubtful.
Yeah, I mean, the federal government is going to weaken the dollar. There's not really anything that I don't think our independence or lack thereof is going to be a factor.
Even if New Hampshire produced it, you know, they decide we're gonna do our own currency, right? We're not gonna use, or we're just not gonna use the US dollar in New Hampshire. You're talking about a million, I think it's 1.2 million people for New Hampshire. The United States has 320 million people. Then take into account there's a lot of other countries way bigger than New Hampshire that also use the US dollar.
That's
of a sudden you understand it ain't gonna decrease in value probably at all if New Hampshire became independent or stopped using the dollar.
Yeah, it's going to decrease in value because they're printing it like there's no tomorrow.
That's why it will go down in value, not because New Hampshire uses or doesn't use it.
Right, they just crossed $30 trillion national debt, and that's what, 2 months after they crossed $29 trillion, I think that happened in December. But, you know, the other thing about this is, Sam, if and when, rather, I think we should say when, New Hampshire secedes, you have to remember, ideally, the correct monetary policy is to have no monetary policy, to allow the market to decide what is money. So whether that be cryptocurrency, whether that be gold backs, or whether that be the dollar, I think what you're going to see, at least immediately right after independence, is most people are going to continue using the dollar just because that's what they're used to doing. There's no reason, like you said, other countries use the dollar. El Salvador, for instance, uses the dollar.
It's funny because even countries that are hostile to the United States, like North Korea, they use the dollar.
Sure.
So I mean, it's
I don't think you're going to see the dollar going away unless it finally hits hyperinflation. Yeah. Then you might see people saying, I don't want these anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely some effort by a handful of countries to move away from the dollar, but anywhere near enough to make a difference.
Yeah, and
so
of course... go ahead.
So you're saying you wouldn't think the free market of New Hampshire being its own country, if all of New Hampshire's at that point didn't use it, it wouldn't devalue it enough, you don't think?
It wouldn't be noticeable is what it would be. I mean, it might devalue it, but not noticeably.
To answer the question as far as the value of the dollar, it's the printing of more dollars and what people believe about them that, is the two of the major factors in what their value is. So if the people of New Hampshire do this, amazing thing that you're talking about, and that is eschew the idea of using the dollar completely across the board, then that indicates that there would probably be other people in the world making that same choice, right? Because we don't exist in a vacuum. Even though New Hampshire, even when it secedes, we're still in a global economy. People are still people, and they're still going to make choices because of whatever reasons they make choices. And people are used to using the dollar. So that's why it's not going to just go away overnight or even in a week. But if the dollar goes to hyperinflation, or when it goes to hyperinflation, that's when people, New Hampshire and elsewhere, are going to start thinking twice, because they're already seeing the effects of inflation, and they don't like it, but they don't know enough to say to look for another alternative yet. Hyperinflation is going to incentivize that.
I mean,
and the other thing that has to happen is there has to be another way globally to buy oil. And now, because of the petrodollar hegemony, there's no other way to grow oil, to buy oil.
Yep.
And if you try to create another way to buy oil,
they bomb you.
The last people to do it were Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi, and they both have their heads on pikes. So,
Sam, thanks for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. But since he brings up New Hampshire, Chris, you've got a story. I also have the same one about a new cryptocurrency news coming out. Talk Talk Live, and you can bring up anything here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
We're kind of jumping all over the place here in this first hour. We haven't really, we've had some calls come in, and that's fine because we like talking to you about whatever's on your mind. But one of our callers just made reference to New Hampshire and money and talking about what happens when New Hampshire declares independence from the United States. What's going to happen to the dollar? And I think it's a safe bet to say the dollar will, unless it has already hit hyperinflation at that point, it's likely that people are going to keep using the dollar. Mm-hmm. Until they find a better option. And while we believe that there are better options out there, whether it be using the gold back, which also has been in the news recently, by the way, InfoWars, Epoch Times, and others have done feature pieces now on the gold back, which is amazing.
Nice.
So they've been getting a ton of coverage. Or whether it be cryptocurrency, in New Hampshire, we do have the benefit of actually being able to use these things.
We do.
You guys just came from a restaurant tonight that accepts both of those alternatives, right?
Yep. And I didn't pay with goldbacks, but I did pay with crypto.
So. Very nice. Well, you're allowed to do that. I can't pay with crypto. Though,
I know. It's a good thing that they take goldbacks.
I can pay with goldbacks.
What would you do, right? Yeah. Like, what would you do?
It hurts me to pay with dollars,
right?
That's like, to me, that's haram. It is against God.
This is why I'm always talking about, you know, when I don't say cash, I say dirty fiat when I'm talking about the dollar, you know, or any kind of
filthy fiat.
You know,
the devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, that's good.
It's bad stuff. I mean, it's blood money, right?
It is.
The dollar is blood money.
Absolutely.
It's based on violence. It's based on threats. It's based on illusions and lies. And, you know, good people should use these alternatives. So the good news is in New Hampshire, there are actually multiple businesses that take the gold back. There are multiple businesses that take cryptocurrency.
I think there's more businesses that take the gold back than we even realize because this area is not – this area has a bunch, but it doesn't have anywhere near as much as I think some other areas because they've done some marketing in other areas, but they haven't made it to Keene yet.
There's a handful of places in Keene that
there
do
are,
that.
But I'm just saying, I think some of the other areas are even
Keene's
more, there's
king
more places
with crypto.
That accept it.
Keene's the
absolutely
king
for
with
crypto,
the, with
for
crypto
sure.
acceptance, but as far as goldbacks, it's actually better spread across the state.
Yeah,
there's a variety of places all over New Hampshire that are taking goldbacks, and it's wonderful to see these things happening here. But it's going to be a natural phenomenon of moving people from one to the next. It takes time. We have to introduce people to these things. And
got to print more of it.
We've got to get. Well, there's got to be more goldbacks, and there are going to be more goldbacks.
Yeah,
they're coming out with the 2022.
They can't keep up with the demand.
That's right.
As it stands, so we can't move too fast, right?
They're flipping on their extra production facility, though, so they're going to have like
double it, I think, right?
I think quadruple their output.
Yeah.
So
nice.
That should help quite a bit. But then again, like I said, they just got a major blow up in press coverage over this past weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll see see how long they can keep the orders fulfilled quickly. There's news here. Do you have this pulled up, the Cointelegraph story, Chris? Do you want to share this with us?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's very similar news to something that happened half a decade ago, but it's happening again.
In New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
Half a decade ago?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm not entirely sure what you're referencing, but
we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I might know what you're talking about if it's relating to other crypto stuff that's happened at the state level. But so this story is basically the New Hampshire governor issues executive order establishing commission to study crypto. Now, I know there...
Which is what already happened
five years
ago.
Right, which is why I'm not entirely sure what is different about this.
The difference, as I understand it, is this is the governor establishing the commission versus the state representatives, I believe, established it last time. I think that's the difference here.
I think you might be right, but I'm not quite sure I understood what happened last time. Because what I recall is at least at some point, one of the reps said, like, who was on the commission, he didn't quite fully understand, like, why they even had the commission. And... because it was like everybody was in agreement on the crypto stuff.
Well, it's called a study committee.
Yeah.
And so their job is to, you know, hear different opinions and get, you know, input from different players or whatever and come up with potential policy recommendations.
Yeah, but
that's
what
they do.
The commission was supposed to, the study committee was supposed to, they were supposed to have a hearing or a meeting, I guess, every so often. And
once a year at least, but right. They could meet more often if they wanted to.
Right. And but there was never really a need for that, right? There was a decision.
There's plenty
that was
of things
made.
The government does that there's no need for.
Right. I know. it just seems so weird because it's like, okay, well, what good did that do? And now it's like, okay, so now the governor's doing this new commission to study crypto, but we've kind of gone through that process already.
Yes, we have. But yeah. They're gonna do it again.
Yeah, they've
already come to the right answer, which is the government doesn't need to do anything about crypto.
Correct. That was ultimately what the old right? commission did come to the conclusion of, and then they said, well, okay, well, we still have to meet once a year.
So there was I think the basis of it for one thing, and that I think that had to do with the banking commission and removing cryptocurrency from the list of things that the banking commission of New Hampshire could regulate. But besides that, I don't think there was anything else that the committee was even supposed to do, really, other than like meet and talk about, like,
that's what they did,
crypto, right? But yep. It's like, why would you have to keep coming back once you've
they
come,
could just
to, an
come
assessment?
To the crypto right. meetup every Sunday,
right? Like, do we really need
funky
our,
noodle?
Do we really need a reps meeting and doing a crypto meetup once a year or whatever? I just didn't get it.
No, we didn't, but they kept doing it.
I know, like, I didn't get it. And that's, it didn't
they
seem
were
like
ordered
the committee
to do it, so they did it.
I know, but I think even the reps didn't seem to understand like why they were doing it. I don't know. I just thought it was
they were just
hilarious.
Going through the motions. In theory, Chris, what could have happened is if some sort of other thing came up where they needed to study cryptocurrency in some specific instance, they would have already had the committee formed, basically, and they would have said, okay, well, send this over to the committee to study cryptocurrency and see what they say about it. But that didn't really happen. Like, they made the initial decision
There is one useful thing they could do, which is study how to protect crypto traders from the federal government.
That'd be nice.
That would be a beautiful thing.
Well, I suspect some of us are going to be attending these upcoming meetings and we will maybe have a thing or two to say about it.
I mean, I don't know. Is this supposed to be like an opportunity to propose legislation? Or something? Like, I'm not quite sure I understand what
it's
the point of the
committee
is.
It's a study committee. They just study things and they talk about them. And maybe they'll make recommendations. I mean, maybe they won't. Who knows?
But when you propose a bill, they already have multiple hearings on the bill before it passes anyway for you to provide, you know, testimony and everything else if you want to.
Well, why don't you get into the story and we'll see what it says.
The commission will have until August 8th to submit a report regarding the current status of the cryptocurrency and digital asset industry.
Okay.
Kristen, you know,
that's a thing.
Okay, I guess.
Make a report, committee. What's the status of things?
I don't know. Chris Sununu, who served as the governor of New Hampshire since 2017, has established a commission aimed at investigating the technology and laws around digital assets in addition to recommending new legislation. I feel like he's just hopping on the bandwagon like all the other governors and mayors, recently. Yes. That's what it feels like to me.
He might also be looking to come up with some draconian legislation.
That's not unlikely,
you know,
because that's
Sununu. This is the same guy who wants to lock us down and mask us up.
A lot of the things that, you know, the governors and the mayors are proposing to make our, you know, our state or our city, you know, appealing to crypto, like crypto, the crypto industry, right, is actually very authoritarian kind of, you know, ish kind of stuff. You know, look at like what New York did years ago where they did the Bit license. I mean, I think that's, you know, I don't know why that would attract a company to New York. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
It scares them away.
Right.
Yeah. Well, unless that company is based on having a lot of lawyers and a lot of money. And being able to suck up to politicians, because that is a huge market niche.
I will say one of the things it did do is it basically gave, I forget what company, a monopoly in New York, if I recall correctly.
Coinbase. Gemini, wasn't it?
And Gemini. Those are two of the holders, I believe.
Yeah, and they're two
Bit
of
license.
The big crony capitalist holders.
The only thing I can think of is that these types of measures or efforts is to attract money from donors for the companies who want that a certain thing to happen in order to establish a monopoly in a state or a city or something of that nature. Like that seems to me like where things are going. What are your thoughts?
I want to talk further about this, but to comment on what you said about Sununu, in 2020, he was a total tyrant when it came to, oh, you got to stay at home. And they didn't call it a lockdown. They called it stay at home here.
They did.
Just two years
to flatten the curve.
And, oh, you got to put a mask on. And then all of a sudden, in late 2021, he changed his tune. And now he's pimping vaccines, but he's, oh, yeah, let the communities decide on the mask. Oh, yeah, you don't have to stay home anymore. You go out, and it's no problem. We're not going to mandate anything anymore here in New Hampshire.
Maybe having protesters outside his mansion had something to do with that.
Maybe, and maybe the fact that he's rolling up on another election season here this year could also be another factor. But we'll continue here, and you can share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
This Free Talk Live, phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can bring up anything you want in the studio tonight. You've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. We're going to continue lots of news here, and it's just been, we've been kind of all over the place in the last hour. I haven't really had a chance to focus on one story, because your calls are coming in, and that's always what I prefer. We like talking to you, because you always bring something to the table that we weren't expecting. Different topics than we were planning, and I like that. So we're going to go back to the phones and to the fun. We're going to start out here this hour, is hour number two, with Sam. He's calling us from the seacoast of New Hampshire. Sam, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey.
Hey, Sam. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? First, I want to say there is a woman that called in a week ago talking about she got vaccinated and didn't decide to get boosted and didn't decide to vaccinate her six-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say to that woman that there are other people like that, like everywhere. Everywhere you go, there will be people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. Kids are at zero risk from COVID.
Second thing I want to say is nobody or Mr. Nobody, your name is awesome.
Thank you.
You are awesome.
We agree, by the way. I love Nobody. He is awesome. I'm so glad that he's back here on Free Talk Live. He's smiling, by the way. He's got a big smile on his face.
Big dumb grin.
And you'd moved. I remember your call a couple weeks ago, Sam. You'd moved up here during 2020. Were you paying attention? I mean, you're really young. I think you're just 10 years old or something right now. But you seem like way more with it than a lot of kids, even in their teenage years. Were you paying attention at all to the election in 2020 when nobody ran for governor up here?
No, but I saw like somebody told me about the the billboard or something.
Oh, the campaign signs?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have enough money for a billboard, but we did have some pretty cool campaign.
I'm like,
geez,
where did you guys have a billboard? You guys are keeping stuff from me.
Well, that said,
it's hard to hide a billboard.
I know. Like, where was this billboard?
There's actually been some talk in the New Hampshire exit group one of the chat rooms that we have about buying a New Hampshire exit billboard of some sort. So
yes.
I actually did contact one of the billboard companies. Now, you can pay a lot for a billboard, or you can pay a little bit less for a billboard, and I found one that's that's a little bit less. It's actually the one on top of Murphy's Tap Room in Manchester. I contacted the people that own that. It's one of those digital platforms where, you know, it switches, right? So, like, every 8 seconds, there's a new advertisement that comes up. It's only, like, if you were to do a multi-month agreement with that, it's only $1,000 a month.
Wow.
And I don't think that's too crazy for, you know, a inner city, you know, high traffic kind of a billboard.
All I'm thinking is, but it's Manchester. It's only got 100,000 people.
Yeah, but there's people going in and out of there all day long. True. I mean, people come in for business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the big city, quote unquote, here in New Hampshire. The thing is, Sam, was there anything else you wanted to share, by the way, before we go off into billboard territory?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
What is your guys' opinion on Bitcoin maximalists?
Can you define a Bitcoin maximalist?
Yeah. Person who thinks who is based and thinks Bitcoin is the only coin, no poopy coins.
Thank you for the self-censorship there. I do appreciate that. I don't know if so the term you use the term based, which is kind of the internet slang. I don't know exactly what the definition of it is. Can you define based?
Yeah. What? Non-fiat, meat-eating, anti-vax, anti-tyranny.
Yeah, so I don't know if I would define, so when you go to Urban Dictionary, for instance, and you look up based, it says it is the opposite of cringe. Based is a word that you use when you agree with something or when you want to recognize someone for being courageous or unique and not caring what others think. The opposite of cringe, sometimes the opposite of biased. In my opinion, a Bitcoin maximalist is not based. They are somebody who is, you know, they have a preference, and it is an irrational, I think, level of preference to the point where they're not even willing to consider any alternatives. They believe that Bitcoin is the one true cryptocurrency.
My response to a maximalist is the same as my response to any other monopolist, which is, you know, there is no area of the market that is best served by a monopoly, and Bitcoin itself is not able to scale to accommodate the entire market, and that's okay because it doesn't have to, because there's 1,000 other coins, and I hope that's the way it will stay.
I think I might have a different opinion on this. Okay. If it was the case that Bitcoin was actually evolving, because it's not necessarily in our interest. I mean, I think it's in our interest to have some competition. Don't get me wrong, but I don't necessarily know that I would be jumping off of Bitcoin if it had evolved, if it had, you know, done, you know, like it become Monero they were working on stability and scaling and all these other problems. But the reality is they're not. It's just, it's this thing where it's like, okay, they're, you know, they talk about, Lightning Network and but they've been talking about it for years, you know?
It's coming.
There were things that they could do.
Just three more years.
The curve.
There were things that they could do that could have stopped it from becoming basically a useless, you know, coin.
Yeah. Yes, but they didn't do those things.
They didn't do those things in a timely and efficient manner. And I think if they had, you know, I think things would maybe be different today. I still don't think it would be, you know, I still don't necessarily think I would agree with them a maximalist, because they, even if they had done that, fixed that one problem, they still probably wouldn't have fixed the privacy problem. And I think that is, there's another use case for that, or at least, I think that, honestly, I think that's kind of the future, right? Like, so,
The future?
Privacy. You know, privacy.
I hope you're right. But again, the market's not valuing that as, you know, what they want.
I don't necessarily know that the market, the problem is with the market is doing what investors want, not necessarily what is valuable to consumers. I think when you see consumers using cryptocurrencies, they're not using what the market wants anyway. So I don't know.
Henry Ford said if he'd asked consumers what they wanted, they would have said they wanted a faster horse.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, the people don't know what they want until you show it to them.
Exactly.
Right? The other thing I want to point out about the maximalists is the what it seems to me to be some pretty serious hypocrisy. On one hand, they say they value decentralization, right? Like, how can you be in favor of Bitcoin and not be in favor of the idea of decentralization, right? It's part and parcel of that.
Yeah.
But they want to only have one currency. And it's like, hello, what about decentralizing the currencies and having a bunch of options in the marketplace and competition? What's wrong with that?
It's funny because it's because of what they did that it actually demonstrates why we need competition in the marketplace.
You mean what they didn't do?
What they didn't do that demonstrates why the sources were released in the first place. And, you know, I cannot imagine that Satoshi, okay, would have argued against the forking of Bitcoin at the end of the day.
Because that's why it's open source, right?
That's why he released the code. It's the whole reason he released the code is to ensure that no matter what the people who were in control of Bitcoin did, if they didn't do what should be done and needs to be done,
somebody else could. Sam, did that answer your question? Thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. They're on the Seacoast. That's Sam. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We got more coming up on this new committee to study, or commission. There's a difference. To study cryptocurrency here in moments. You can join us. It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can take control of the airwaves at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. We're talking about cryptocurrency here a little bit tonight. And if you are new to the topic, it's 13 years, we're 13 years into this experiment, but it's still not too late. Some people would say it's still really early, as a matter of fact. Like, if you think about how long gold or silver have been considered, as money, 13 years is dropping the bucket.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so. And if you look at the percentage of people who hold Bitcoin, there will be a lot more, or cryptocurrency in general, let me not sound maximalist. if you look at the number of people who hold cryptocurrency, that number is going to grow a lot
absolutely
in the future. And every time it grows, the value has to rise.
Head over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page. They will teach you some of the basics, and there are some new concepts that you should get your mind wrapped around, like decentralization and blockchains. And they go over those things over at Bitcoin.com. Click Get Started, and then you can start the process of learning about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and cryptocurrency. If you're not brand new, though, and you want to get the latest news headlines, news.bitcoin.com has them every day, and they do a great job reporting on the latest from the world of cryptocurrency. And it is a deep, deep, interesting world. So check it out at news.bitcoin.com. Chris, you were sharing a story with us about the New Hampshire governor calling for a commission to study cryptocurrency. I think they're calling it the Commission on Cryptocurrencies and Digital Assets. And this sounds familiar to me because I think all of us have gone to the previous committee that was studying cryptocurrency.
I definitely did. I went to more than one, I believe.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I don't know if you did, nobody, but
I don't. I haven't been to any of those.
I'm surprised that we didn't drag you along for those.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked too.
But maybe those were the years you weren't living in Keene. That might have been.
Maybe you just don't remember.
Maybe I don't.
you sometimes forget about some of this stuff that we do. I mean, there's so much activism you're involved in.
It's true.
We have done many an appearance at the State House, so it wouldn't surprise me if at all.
I'm actually surprised when I bring something up that you don't remember, Ian, some piece of activism. I'm like, yeah, you were there. I know for sure.
So they're doing it again.
Yeah.
They're doing more studies, apparently, about cryptocurrency. And that's one of the things that's happening, by the way, this year is there's a particular free stater who's a state representative, Keith Ammon. He's a good guy, great state representative, cares about liberty, and he's really into cryptocurrency, and he's sponsored a few bills this year that are going to try to make New Hampshire as free as Wyoming as far as being a good place for businesses to come to who are crypto businesses and make a, you know, make it welcoming to them.
Yeah, basically. I'm still not sure I fully wrap my head around what Wyoming did that made it freer than New Hampshire.
There's a whole suite of legislation that basically paves the way, and I don't have, you know, off the top of my head what those things are, but essentially he took those pieces of legislation and introduced them all in this legislative session. They haven't been voted on by the full House yet, but I did see some of the voting results.
So we should be able to, there should be a committee hearing at some point on some of these, and we'll
there was a hearing that already happened a few weeks ago. Now the committees are voting on it. I think one of them got voted down, ITL, which is inexpedient to legislate. But again, that doesn't mean it won't pass the full House. Just probably means it won't pass.
Yeah.
The other one, I think, got sent off to a study committee, I think. So we'll see. And I guess this committee by the governor is going to, you know, help these state reps and state senators have a better grasp for why Wyoming's better than New Hampshire. New Hampshire's one of the better states.
It is.
It's probably the top five as far as crypto, maybe even number two. I don't know. As far as the crypto friendliness, but Wyoming's got it by a mile. That's why companies like Kraken moved their entire operation to Wyoming.
I think if I'm not mistaken, okay, so I don't,
and Kraken's a big crypto exchange. Sorry.
I don't fully understand what it is Wyoming did, but I think if I recall correctly, it had something to do with banks.
It's called a special depository something institution.
Yeah, so it was very like, we don't have regulation here, but the banks are still regulated, and so somehow if you want to interact with
it's a special carve out, a special type of bank that essentially a cryptocurrency exchange could open, and they have.
And I think if I recall correctly, the legislation that we got passed may have only been applicable to businesses that deal with like selling cryptocurrency or something of that nature. So it might be that there's some other piece of legislation that we do need. I just don't fully understand like what exactly.
Yeah. So the way Keith explained it to me, I was in the state house the day the hearings were happening, but I wasn't able to attend them. But I did stop him in the hallway and I talked to him a little bit. And the way he explained it was, you know, as you pointed out, Chris, what happened previously in New Hampshire was there was this piece of legislation that got passed that inadvertently started to regulate crypto a little bit in New Hampshire. And then we undid that. So the original commission to study cryptocurrency said, oh, we shouldn't have done this. And they recommended to the state house that we undo it. And so the state house undid that. And so basically there's not any kind of regulatory controls on cryptocurrency here, as I understand it.
Right.
So you would think, oh, great, that's the way it should be.
Right. So then what's the problem? Like, what do we need more
legislation? What he explains is, whether we like it or not as libertarians, corporations want to have some sort of a structure that they can go and do a thing in, right?
Yeah.
So like the special depository institution is like a special carve out for in the banking system that allows a cryptocurrency company to create their own bank, basically. That's my understanding of it. I'm sure it's more complex than that.
One of the fears I have, though, is that if you do this, does that mean anybody who doesn't follow, you know, operate within that structure, are they now committing a crime?
I don't know. I haven't read the legislation.
Yeah,
so
I mean, this is something I'm not sure if this is something I want to support.
I mean, if you create a bank, you're going to get targeted, right? Like if you open up Chris's bank and you've got a vault in your house and you call it a bank, they're going to come after you, right? There's banking regulations that already prohibit that.
I don't think they're calling it a bank in Wyoming. They're calling it a depository or something like that anyway. So
yeah, but it's basically they're a bank and they can do the things that banks do or whatever. Okay. But yeah, if you try to be a bank and, you know, they're going to come after you for that if you don't jump through the hoops, basically. So banking is highly regulated, and this just basically allows things to happen that otherwise companies are just too afraid to do, you know, on their own.
I don't know. I just feel like if they're going to do something, it should just exempt as opposed to create a structure for, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
The problem is if they've already got a structure for banks.
But it's not a bank.
Well, it basically is a bank, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Under the current law, you mean?
If they've already got a structure for banks, then it could well be that they have to add hooks to that structure so that...
Why can't we just exempt them from that legislation?
Well, because banking is highly regulated. I don't think you could just say, okay, well, now you can do, you know, be a bank without being a bank, and we're just going to leave you alone. Unfortunately, the Banking Commission, you know, their goal is to regulate. And so I would love to see them abolish the Banking Commission,
like,
Chris, but that's
this.
Not
I
no
feel
one's
like
proposing
we did
that.
This for cryptocurrency businesses when we removed the authority of the banking New Hampshire Banking Department, or whatever they call it, from regulating cryptocurrency. Like, I feel like we could do the same thing just for, you know, repositories. Yeah.
I don't know if I can explain.
It would be interesting to have you read the legislation in an opinion about it.
Yeah.
I think I did read some of the Wyoming legislation, but it's very, very like...
It's complicated, sure.
It's banking terms that your average person's not going to understand. And I already understand some of those terms.
Yeah,
so.
Your average person isn't the target of this legislation. It's corporations who want to do certain things. And as you know, corporations are creatures of the state, and they only want to follow the rules. So they need rules to follow, is essentially what he had told me. This is a pretty libertarian guy.
Yeah.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. It is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking a little bit about the confusing world of government regulations when it comes to cryptocurrency businesses and how to attract them into a political jurisdiction. And I mean, I'm with you, Chris, that to me, what's attractive would be no regulations whatsoever. But unfortunately, the liberty reps that we have, and, you know, God bless what they do. They do amazing work considering the circumstances that they're in, which is to say they're in the minority, right? Like
absolutely.
We might be at the very least 1/10 of the state house with approximately 40 some state reps that are free staters. There's probably a few dozen more that are pretty friendly to freedom. So maybe if you really push it, you could say we're a quarter of the state house that are relatively pro freedom, but still that's not a majority.
Absolutely.
So
not.
You're not seeing any proposals to abolish the Banking Commission, which would be the ideal thing for a libertarian, you know, to do.
We're going to need some more movers for that.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly. Definitely need a few more movers. And don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that this legislation is going to be bad for freedom. I suspect it probably will be beneficial. It's just not. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know if I like it. You know, it's not going far enough.
The problem is if there's a closed set of things that certain types of company can do, then you need legislation to open that set of things, to add another thing to that set. And I think that's the situation that we've got now.
Yeah, I'm looking over the bill in question regarding these special depository institutions, special purpose depository institutions. And basically, they do banking kind of things without being called a bank. They can be applied.
I mean, wouldn't that be a money transmitter, though?
I'm sure they'll be considered a money transmitter, but that's a whole separate question. They can do banking-related things except for lending. They can't have natural persons as their customers. Only corporations can be their customers, apparently.
Hmm.
And they can apply to the Federal Reserve to be a member bank, so that would give them the ability to receive wire transfers and send wire transfers and things like that. But there was a story from the senator of Wyoming, or one of the senators from Wyoming, Cynthia Lummis, who is kind of like the crypto senator, basically, in the U.S. government, she wrote an article about how the Federal Reserve is refusing to process the applications.
I saw this.
By Kraken, and there's another one. There's another crypto company, Avanti, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, I recall the companies. But
these two that have created the special purpose depository institutions in Wyoming are trying to get their Federal Reserve numbers or whatever so they can, you know, send wire transfers and all that, and they're just... The Fed has not moved on their applications. It's been a year, and apparently there's an supposedly a legal obligation, quote unquote, for the Fed to process any application within a year. So they're just they're snubbing the crypto business.
I wonder if it would have been any different if Wyoming had created a state institution that would handle all wire transfers on behalf of banks in
like
the state.
Like a state bank, you mean?
Yeah, and because then they wouldn't be able to...
I don't like the sound of that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I guess they could still probably block a transfer. The feds could still block a particular transfer, but the less information they have to do so, the harder it would be for them to do so, right? If everything had to go through a central state institution first in order to... get to the federal system, right? I don't know.
They couldn't cut off the crypto banks then without cutting off all of Wyoming.
And that's the that's the whole point. It makes them, it prevents them from basically punishing crypto or institutions that deal with crypto, whereas right now it's very easy because you have to apply still to the federal bank as an individual institution within Wyoming.
All right, let's go to your calls and thoughts, and we can continue with whatever's on your mind. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yes. I just wanted to bring up that, you know, the marketing network that I'm involved in, is that, you know, it's very environmental. And it saves plastic.
Sarah, I thought you weren't a distributor of that network marketing program that you've called about before. I thought you were just a customer.
Well, it is. I'm just a customer, but I help Richard. Richard is signed up, so I'm trying to get people signed up with him. So,
gotcha.
You know, and then he...
Because if you sponsor three and they sponsor three and they sponsor three, then you'll make $1 million, right?
Well, I don't know about a
You'll be a diamond distributor. They'll give you like a boat and a house and a car and a vacation.
How does this fit in with the communism?
Oh, wow.
Do you want to create a capitalist exploiter of the people?
Well, the thing is, I'm in a capitalist country, and that's the model that I have. Well, the thing is that the products are very concentrated, so it saves on fossil fuel and gasoline because it takes a lot more fuel to haul water, and you can put it in a small plastic bottle. You save plastic.
Is this Amway?
That's not Amway.
Are you trying to sell us on water? On like plastic water,
she's
like
trying to sell you on their concentrated solutions because
dehydrated
it's more efficient.
Concentrated water?
No. She's got potions, right? She's got potions and she's got chemicals and soaps or whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
Oils, essential oils. She's got all kinds of stuff that she wants to put to.
Sarah, aren't you on like welfare, like social housing or something like
that?
She's
working. She moved out of the welfare.
Oh, she did.
She used to live in a welfare house, but she doesn't now.
Okay, well that's a step up then.
Yeah.
Well, I get SSI, so I get about $800 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a disability. I have bipolar, but so I cannot make money. But Richard could make money. I just help him out.
Claim that you cannot make money, Sarah. It seems to me like you're trying pretty hard here to, you know, earn a little bit of income to bring in some bacon.
Yeah,
I
mean, I want to say something about people with bipolar for just a moment. I've had employees that were bipolar, and I will say that.
And you fired them all.
I didn't fire them. I didn't actually. They left on their own. But. Okay. I will say that I don't think it's impossible for somebody with bipolar to make money.
Yeah.
The problem is that they can be unreliable, I think is the best way to phrase it. Because if you're going from having one mood to another mood, you might not show up for work. And that's something that's usually desirable in an employee. But that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody with bipolar can't make money. It just means they can't as easily work for maybe another
person,
individual or another company. Mm-hmm. They may need to go into work for themselves and have more leeway with the work that they perform.
But they can do things.
Right.
She's acting like she can't do anything. What's that, Sarah?
As a bipolar, people are very, very unpredictable. But, you know, I'm not making money off of this. I'm just helping Richard. He's the one that's making money.
Is he making money?
The thing is, I'm technically, I'm not making any money because I'm not
buying he been in the? How long has he been a distributor?
Well, actually, he's been involved in it for about a year and 3 months.
Okay, and what level is he?
Well, the thing is that we're just customers, and we have four people under us.
Four people? Okay.
Well, those are not the one that we signed up. It's the people that we have about 30 spots that we could have.
How did the four people get under you if you didn't sign them up?
Oh, man.
Well, the thing is that you could have people that signed you up the upline.
Yeah.
They could put people at about 30 spots under your line.
Oh, I see. So he's getting the uplines doing the work, and they're stacking people under him. That's pretty sweet. So he doesn't even have to do all the work to get people underneath him. Well, good luck with your potions, Sarah. Appreciate it. The number is 603-283-6160. Maybe she'll be kicking it on the island after they get the free cruise from their diamond distributorship someday.
Oh, man.
You can bring up whatever you want. The number here is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Talk Live, phones open. If you want to join the show, you can. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about cryptocurrency and politicians acting like they're being friendly to it or open-minded about cryptocurrency, but are they really?
Yeah, doubt it.
There's actually news about the so-called pro-crypto mayor of New York City that we can get into coming up here in a moment. But with you tonight, it is Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And what we've been discussing here has been that the news is that in our very own New Hampshire, which is fairly crypto-friendly as far as things go, there aren't specific prohibitions here like there are in New York, for instance, where there's something
New York City.
Yeah, there's, well, in this case, all of New York State, where there's the so-called Bit License that they put into place back in 2015, if I recall correctly, that has made New York the least friendly state for cryptocurrency businesses. New Hampshire has been pretty hands-off when it comes to crypto, but the state of Wyoming has passed certain legislation that has sort of paved the way for crypto businesses.
Sweeten the deal.
Yeah, to feel more comfortable coming there. And so we've seen a major crypto exchange called Kraken migrate their business over to Wyoming, and they've started one of these sort of banks, but not banks, special purpose depository institutions. There and so here in New Hampshire, the New Hampshire legislators that are into crypto, a lot of them are free staters, have put forward three pieces of legislation this year. One of them's about the special depository institutions, and there's a couple of others that have to do with crypto. So we'll see how those pan out. But meanwhile, Chris, you had a story about the governor here in New Hampshire has called for another commission to be formed to study cryptocurrency. And this is after there was already a commission, like in 2016, I think, that they formed to study cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
That you and I have, Chris, testified in front of in the past. That footage, by the way, is over at the Free Keen YouTube channel. So if you're interested in watching boring commission footage, you know, you can do that.
Honestly, I honestly didn't think it was that boring.
Well, it's because you're interested in the topic, I guess.
That's true. But I mean, as far as like...
Some of the state reps have a tough time staying awake in their own committees. So
yes,
by definition, they're pretty dull.
I think as far as like, hearings, committee hearings or whatever that you're going to go to and listen to and find interesting. I felt like that was actually kind of interesting. I've spoken at a lot of other, you know, hearings, mm-hmm. and a lot of times it's really, really boring stuff.
No doubt.
You know, this one was kind of interesting, I think, especially at the time, because like, oh, I find out my reps are already using crypto. They have wallets. Like at the time, that was amazing. Like I didn't know any of the representatives had crypto wallets or Bitcoin wallets or whatever it was that they had.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few of them that do.
Yeah, and I didn't know that.
Excluding just the free staters who are obviously already into it, but there's even some others that are into crypto.
Right, and that, like, I thought that alone was, you know, made that hearing very interesting to go and hear.
Indeed.
And then there were reps that were actually in favor, like, speaking in favor of it. Like I don't know, but, you know, if there's, I mean, look, I get that, like, most bills don't go down like that, but that bill not only, well, at least one of them went down positively. The reps were even speaking at the committee hearing in favor of it, as well as it didn't get ITL'd. It actually went to I think it said something about what's the other one? Something
Autopass.
Yeah. So I think it actually got
ITL
voted,
stands for inexpedient to legislate.
Yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that one got voted ought to pass, and then it actually passed. So,
well, the commission just makes recommendations. It doesn't vote on, you know, like whether the bill should move forward or whatever. But they say they basically will tell the other committees, okay, here's what we think.
Yep.
And then they take that under advisement and make their decision based on that. One of my favorite moments, I think, from the original commission on studying cryptocurrency was when there was like one of the banking bureaucrats was sitting there testifying. I think it was the head of the commission asked the question of, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to the effect of, well, have there been any complaints? Because they were talking about like all the bad things that could happen.
Right?
Oh, these bad things with cryptocurrency. We need to regulate and blah, blah, blah. Because, of course, the regulators want to regulate, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy said, well, have there been any complaints about cryptocurrency? And she had to answer, there had not been a single complaint in however many years.
Right, because her job, like their job is to take complaints from
about
the public.
About banks and stuff.
Right, about banks and stuff.
And investments or whatever.
Right, and there was not a single complaint.
Nope.
And here she was testifying against
the
bill.
And that one question just like completely took all the wind out of their sails, and you could tell it was over.
It really did.
With that one question.
Yeah.
So. And and the guy that asked that question isn't a free stater. He's just like one of the Republican state reps.
I was going to say he's just one of the Republicans. Yeah, I was going to say he's just a Republican, as I understood it.
He happens to be the head of the Commerce Committee, so he does hear a lot of, you know, business-related bills and that sort of thing.
Like, I actually have a picture of this guy in my mind because I was just so shocked that, like, your just random rep would actually, like, say something positive or ask a question that was... Yeah, it was just that was an amazing. That was some of those were amazing hearings. I thought. I don't think I've been to any other hearing that was as interesting as that, other than maybe the New Hampshire independence hearing. But but that didn't go anywhere. I mean, that didn't go. I mean, well, I don't want to say it hasn't gone anywhere.
We didn't get what we wanted out of it.
Yeah, we didn't get we didn't get an ought to pass. We got you know, but it was also not unexpected. So. Mm.
What else can you share about this news?
Yeah, so Governor Sununu.
If at first you don't secede, try again.
I think it's, I think it's interesting what Sununu had to say about this. Governor Sununu cited the rising use and acceptance of crypto, as well as the growth of distributed ledger and blockchain technologies, in his decision to establish the commission. Kind of what we've been saying for the last, I don't know, half a decade, right? According to the executive order, the Crypto Commission will have 180 days until August 8th to submit a report to officials within New Hampshire state government consisting of a review and investigation regarding the current status of the cryptocurrency and digital asset industry. It's such an interesting choice of words, too, like a digital asset industry. Like, I don't think of it as an industry. I think it's cryptocurrency, right? Like,
it's a huge industry. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I don't.
It's a $2 trillion industry.
Sure, but I don't think of it as like an industry in the same sense that I think of like the steelmaking industry.
Well, yeah,
right?
They don't,
like,
have a manufacturing facility.
Right.
You know.
They do. That's kind of what the miners are.
Yeah, but there's not like a physical place where people come to work per se. I mean, there are.
Each miner does have a place where he has his machines.
Yeah, it's just it's kind a different of, thing to visualize.
Kind
though,
of, but it's
I
not.
Think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely different. I mean, I don't know if we're putting into good words.
They
or
have
words, but.
Decentralized organizations. We were talking about this the other night. Decentralized autonomous organizations is sort of like the new buzzword in the world of cryptocurrency. And I shouldn't say just buzzword. It's a real thing. I mean, they're organizations that exist now that do not have a CEO. They do not have a board of directors. They may have thousands of directors, people who have purchased basically stock, the equivalent of that, like these tokens. They buy these tokens, and that gives them voting power in this organization. They can make proposals about what the organization should do, and then the other rest of the people can vote on those proposals. And the thing is, there's no CEO or you know board to go and target with like a police raid.
Yeah.
There's no centralized bank account to shut down. They are completely untouchable.
It is interesting though because you may have trouble actually opening a bank account if you want to interface with the real world because
but they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, sure. If you could somehow manage to propagate money through the traditional system,
they're doing decentralized finance. They don't need to propagate through the traditional system.
Sure, I don't know what it is these decentralized organizations, are. I mean, obviously, they're not one thing.
They
so
do
it's
a ton of different things.
Sure, but
one of them runs Shapeshift now, which used to be a centralized company.
Probably
Shapeshift was a centralized corporation that in the summer of 2021. Eric Voorhees, who's a Free Stater, by the way, Shapeshift was one of the first companies to allow people to take one type of crypto and send it to them, and then they send back a different type of crypto. Mm-hmm. They became regulated because they were a centralized corporation, and Eric, I don't think, ever wanted that, but that's ultimately what he had to do until now, where they figured out, well, we can run this thing differently, and they decentralized the entire corporation. They're in the process of like closing the offices, firing all the employees, and giving the employees a bunch of these tokens that they have called the Fox token. And so everybody that worked for Shapeshift can still work for Shapeshift. It's just there's not some bookkeeper somewhere who's cutting them a paycheck at the end of the day.
Right.
And now anybody else who had the Fox token can vote on the things that Shapeshift does. So they've transitioned. I don't know if it's complete 100%, but they're like, almost there have gotten rid of the old artifice of a corporation.
It's certainly interesting. I don't know if it can completely, at this point, replace a traditional corporation, but I certainly, or at least not every corporation, but no, I certainly think it's...
Not the ones that need a physical manufacturing plant.
Right, exactly. Right? Like, how do you make that work, right?
There's more coming up.
It's mostly because of the legal system that we have that problem.
Yeah, that's true. There's more on the way here. You can share your thoughts. Hour number three is coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. The number here is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Will New Hampshire rise to the top as far as the best states, as far as the list of the best states to run a cryptocurrency-related business? It's definitely in the top echelon. I don't know how you rank these things exactly, but I think most people in the crypto world think Wyoming is the best at the moment, and that's because they've passed a sort of a suite of legislation that do things like authorize bankers to hold cryptocurrency. That's one of the reasons why banks won't hold cryptocurrencies, because they are deathly afraid of having the government punish them for doing so.
I think one of the things people have to understand about some of this stuff that they're talking about is it's effectively illegal for somebody to hold somebody else's money for them. Or maybe something like multiple different other people's money. So like you can't
authorized by the state. You mean
right? Unless you like get a banking charter from the state or something like that, you can't just be like, oh hey, give me I can't hold your money in and nobody's money and somebody else's money and put it into my bank account.
Yeah, we actually
that's a crime.
Right, we actually had a host of the show years ago. His name was Wayne. And he knew a dude who tried this, like out in California, opened up what was called a warehouse bank, and they raided his ass over that. So even though people were voluntarily using his services, he had like a really nice safe or something like that, and was willing to take deposits from people. They came in and they stole all of his stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. And the interesting thing is, There may be ways to legally do it, except that you can't be. It's got to be like a safe system. So each person has to have their own safe deposit box. Mm. And then it potentially becomes legal. But that doesn't necessarily mean the feds won't raid you over it.
Yeah. Right? Did you hear about that happening to the deposit box place out in where the hell?
In California,
yeah,
Hollywood.
California, yep, right?
Yeah. I believe it was Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah. They were doing exactly that.
Exactly that.
And where customers were the only ones that had access to it. And they didn't even know necessarily what was in there. But they went in. The feds took everything.
Yeah. And the lawyers are saying that the feds were in the wrong on it. And
sure,
yet they did
but
it
you
anyway.
Got to fight them.
And the judge even said that you can't I forget what the judge said exactly, but it was like the judge said when you raid, you can't touch the assets like in the safe deposit box. You can take the structure.
Oh, really?
But you can't take what's in the safe deposit box.
What are they
going
to do? Take the box and leave everything else sitting on the street?
I'm not quite sure. However, they did open the boxes
and took everything.
And inventoried it all. So they violated, and the judge was, I think, angry about the fact that they violated his order.
Yeah, but did he order him to give everything back?
Well, it
not yet, right?
They're not obeying the judge's order. And I don't know, and the problem is it's like, well, what does the judge, what can the judge do when the government violates it, the judge's order? And in theory, I guess the judge can, throw a government agent in a cage.
Yeah,
but
how often does that happen?
That would be fun to watch.
What does the government do? The government will then respond in appeal to a higher court judge.
That's right.
And then, what's the chance of that judge agreeing? And it's a mess. The whole system is a mess.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, I had that story weeks and weeks ago, and it was one of the myriad of stories we just never really got into. But yeah, that happened. And, even if those people end up getting their stuff back, how many years is it going to take?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe you needed what was in that box for some reason. Well, now it's in the federal government's possession.
It's interesting because a lot of those people, it was their life savings or it was, their inheritance or it was, the money that they needed to pay rent even in some cases.
Whatever it was.
So there were people who actually got kicked out on the street as a result of their money being stolen, from by the feds.
Because the feds were trying to protect them.
From drug dealers or something.
Yeah. I mean, basically that was their argument was, well, some of these people were committing crimes. The problem is that when they were actually confronted with that in court, they couldn't actually explain what crimes were committed.
Or who it was.
Or the individual people's whose stuff that they stole and violated the judge's decision over. So it's pretty crazy the stuff that they do.
So we've been talking about this story here from New Hampshire about a commission studying cryptocurrency, and there's not really a whole lot of news here, but yet we've managed talk about various different aspects of this for much of an hour.
Honestly, I think we pretty much covered what it was in this bill.
Yeah, I mean, essentially the governor is saying, and he's trying to win points, right? Like he's trying to win brownie points here. Oh, I'm being friendly with the crypto business, and look at what I'm doing. And
try to forget about the masks and the people I had arrested at my house
and the mandates and the crackdown. So we're going to keep an eye on this. You better believe we're going to be attending these hearings. I've already asked Keith Ammon, who is, again, one of the Free Stater, crypto-friendly Free Stater state reps, who, by the way, was appointed already to this committee.
Oh, nice.
So Keith Ammon is on this committee. And it'll be interesting to see who else they appoint to this, because the makeup of it is different than the last one.
Okay.
So this one is going to have more members of the public, quote unquote. The average people are going to be in on this, presumably people that know about crypto, not just Joe Blow on the street.
Yeah, but, I mean, I felt like we had a really good makeup as far as the committee last time.
Well, but last time there was only one person who was a normal, not bureaucrat, not politician, and that was Jeremy Kaufman, the founder of Library and Odyssey. Now, we talk a lot about Odyssey here on Free Talk Live. That's where we do streaming video every night, where we have never been censored and will likely never be censored. And Library itself, which is what Odyssey was built on originally, Library is a protocol, not a platform. Library is a media sharing, blockchain-based media sharing protocol. And we've been posting our video archives on Library for years now. So you can go to video.freetalklive.com. That takes you over to our Odyssey channel. Anyway, it was Jeremy Kaufman who was the one person that was on that committee or that commission before. But now they're going to be able to have, I think, as many as six. So this is going to be a larger commission than it was previously. So it'll be interesting to see who gets chosen for this.
Yeah, and it'll definitely be interesting to see how it goes. Yeah,
and what the makeup of it ends up looking like. So we'll keep you in the loop as that develops. But in related news, did you guys hear this New York City mayor, the new guy, the guy that just took office in January, talk about how he loves cryptocurrency?
I did. There's been a bunch of them. I think one is in Florida, too.
Uh-huh, yeah. And, Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, and there might be another one somewhere out there,
there's
too.
There's a few of them.
There's definitely like three or four of them.
So this guy made some headlines while he was running for mayor. So he's brand new, just came in January, and he made headlines because he claims he's into Bitcoin. He wants to get paid in Bitcoin. I guess he said he was getting his first few paychecks. He would get them in Bitcoin or something like that. And he made a statement about how he wants New York City to be the best Bitcoin city, to be the most attractive to Bitcoin businesses and
Get rid of the Bit license.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is that. And unfortunately, that's at the state level, so he can't get rid of it.
Right.
But yeah, that's a major factor in that's going to keep businesses out of New York City. But here's another one. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, according to the New York Post, wants to make the Big Apple a center of cryptocurrency trading, but he now says he's siding with environmentalists who oppose the energy-intensive process of mining the digital currencies. Wow. Quote, "I support cryptocurrency, not crypto mining," he said.
I don't think this guy understands what cryptocurrency is.
No.
Although there are definitely cryptocurrencies that don't use the same kind
this
of
is true.
Mining
true.
And are not as energy intensive.
This is true.
Things like
proof of
stellar.
Stake. Yeah.
Proof of stake versus proof of work.
Yeah. Basically, they use some variant of the different solutions to the Byzantine general problem.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he actually understood the difference between proof of work and proof of stake, and it isn't that he was leading us on by making us think that he was talking about
just pandering
stable coins. No, I was thinking he was talking about stable coins. He supports stable coins, not cryptocurrencies, is what he's basically saying, but not really understanding.
No, he was talking about Bitcoin before. Like in cryptocurrency.
Right, but now he's
saying
he doesn't support Bitcoin.
Correct. Yeah, because you cannot support Bitcoin and be against the mining of it.
I was thinking that what he meant then by that is he only supports stable coins. But then I was completely forgetting about the fact that there's stable.
And these are politicians. I mean, Biden says he wants low gas prices, but he also wants to outlaw drilling for gas, which is pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and Biden, just listening
to
Biden ramble about inflation is just so hard to handle.
Oh, God.
There's more coming up here in moments.
Inflation's good for us, Ian.
This is Free Talk. It's good for the government. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You're invited if you want to join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. And now Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide, and for the first time, you can get it on a centralized exchange called xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com. All you need is an email address to sign up, and you can keep your privacy intact. You can deposit dozens of different cryptos, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether, and then use that Tether to buy ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org and buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. We are talking a little bit about cryptocurrency here, specifically a fairly mainstream hypocrite when it comes to crypto, and that is the New York City mayor, Eric Adams, just took office in January, and while he was campaigning, he pledged to accept his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and Ethereum. However,
how is he going to do that? Does he have the authority once elected to just, like, issue whatever he wants?
Excellent question.
Because
couldn't issue it, the city would have to buy it from somewhere,
right? And then
unless they confiscated some or something from a drug dealer or whatever.
Sounds like a fraudulent promise that he probably doesn't have the power to actually do once he gets elected.
Yeah, I don't know how that's panned out, right? Because presumably he's gotten a paycheck by now. I've not been paying close attention to what's been going on with
him.
Even
if he can eventually get a paycheck in, you know, crypto, which maybe he can, it's going to take some amount of time probably to make that happen.
Maybe. I mean, let's presume he got it. Whatever. Okay, so he got his paycheck, and he said he was willing to take his first 3 paychecks. That's not a real big commitment,
right? No, it's
not.
That was the other thing I thought was pretty funny.
Like, why would you just take 3 if you really are into cryptocurrency and you can get the city to actually pay you in it? Why wouldn't you want every single paycheck to be in Bitcoin?
It's a publicity stunt is all it is.
That's what it was, because then he changed his tune after what happened? Environmentalists criticized him for not taking a more forceful stand against the mining process, which green activists say will expedite the negative effects of climate change due to the sheer amount of energy required to create the digital coins.
Banksy is way more energy than
ridiculous argument, because again, I've said this so many times. Most of what you're generating is based on waste electricity. It's stuff that's already being generated. It's just not being utilized. Yeah. And it's usually the efficient, like the most efficient, cheapest stuff you can get, which is like hydropower, right? So it's not like the wheels stop spinning on those generators, you know, just because, you know, in the midnight or whatever, right? The industry during the day, you know, uses that electricity, but at night it's not using the electricity, but those wheels don't stop generating it. So,
and indeed, guess what?
The hamsters keep running, and
guess what the controversy is about? It's about a power plant in New York State, in upstate, actually in the Finger Lakes region, where we've got a radio station, a couple of radio stations that air the show. So apparently this gas powered plant is using what is probably their extra power.
Waste, yep, because they leak that a lot of these wells leak, and I've heard of other is this one of those situations where they're using basically the leakage from the well to generate the power?
Well, I don't know all the details, but the Seneca Lake, which is the largest of the Finger Lakes, it's got a power plant called Green Ridge Generation that is got a crypto mining operation they claim is carbon neutral, whatever that means. But the Seneca Lake Guardian, an environmental nonprofit, is praising the New York City mayor for coming out against cryptocurrency mining, saying, quote, they're relieved to see that Mayor Adams has heard us and understands the major threats that Bitcoin mining poses to the New York State. You know, it makes me wonder, is the mayor going to show how serious he is now by doing raids on Bitcoin miners in the city limits? Because, I mean, if he's really serious about saving the environment, he needs to start putting people behind bars.
That assumes that, I presume that assumes that it's illegal, but it's not illegal last time I checked.
It's not.
That doesn't necessarily stop them from arresting
people.
That's
true. It really doesn't.
Quote, Bitcoin mining could cost New Yorkers millions of dollars in energy bills. How's that exactly?
Doubtful.
Sounds like
they're arguing that it's going to increase the demand for electricity, which is going to increase the prices, which is then thus going to cause more. But the problem with that argument is that, again, it only makes sense. You only make money off of mining crypto if the price is low enough. So you're not going to cause it to go up beyond what would be profitable. And because there's other people mining it for less, it means that any place that has that doesn't have a surplus supply, it's not going to make sense to mine.
That's one thing that you can say is for sure about these environmentalists is they don't understand the economy. They don't understand the market, and they just understand fear and political power, right?
And linear extrapolation.
So Green Ridge Generation insists their plant is carbon neutral and not having a major impact on the environment. The CEO said recently that, quote, the claim that Green Ridge's fully permitted operation would have any impact on the quality and viability of Seneca Lake is beyond absurd. And anyway, they just go on to some general statements about mining.
If I recall, this is the power plant that was shut down because there wasn't enough demand for electricity. And then they started it back up again.
I don't know.
I think it's this. Wow. I think that's the one they're talking about here. But basically, what's ridiculous is if it was environmentally harmful if it's environmentally harmful now, when they're generating crypto with it, it would have been environmentally harmful previously too.
When anyone was taking their power.
Right, but nobody was using it, so they shut it down. And
if that's true, you don't know for sure.
Right. Again, like I said, I'm not 100% sure if this is the same power plant, because there was another story out of New York where they were concerned about, I think it had to do with something about the heat and the lake levels going up.
That's one of the claims from the environmentalists here, is that it's going to heat the lake up.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense. But at the same time, if that was the case, why did they build the power plant there in the first place, you know, and operate it for all those years prior to it shutting down?
Frustrating.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just a pretty entertaining story where this guy is saying he's still for crypto, just not against, he's against the mining of cryptocurrency. So it's ridiculous. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to join us in other related news, you are going to be seeing a lot of crypto ads if you watch the Super Bowl this year. Now, I don't know if any of the three of us regularly watch
the Super Bowl.
Sports ball? No. I wouldn't notice that.
The big game, as they call it in advertising.
Now, is this soccer?
No.
Is it football?
You're pretending, right? Are you really pretending?
Football.
I get confused. I think there's like one that's like the worldwide thing and like all sorts of sports get together. And then there's another
one. You're
thinking
of the Olympics.
The Olympics, yes.
That's happening now too.
Oh, okay.
So the Olympics
is
actually...
So which one is this?
And they've got, the athletes are getting quarantined in horrible conditions.
In China? Is it in China this time?
In China,
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. God, who would set foot in China for any reason? I can't imagine it.
Yeah, good question.
Nothing could motivate me to go to China.
Not even a gold medal?
Not even a gold medal.
I got other people going to China for me. I don't need to go.
So, just in case, for those of you out there who are like Chris and you don't know what we're talking about, the Super Bowl is the NFL's championship game, and that is the National Football League. It's the United States.
Confused.
Big,
soccer?
The big game.
Football?
No, it's not soccer.
Soccer,
this is
football?
American football. The pigskin.
I don't know the difference.
He's playing, right?
Pigskin the cop?
There's more coming up here in a moment. 603-283. Now, people would pay for that one. 6160. Live phones open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So you can bring up anything you want here. We've just kind of been off on a side tangent of some crypto related stories. I was mentioning that the Super Bowl is going to have a bunch of cryptocurrency advertisements for like the first time, and it's more than one company. So all of a sudden, and, you know, people pay attention to, you don't, Chris, obviously, pay attention to the Super Bowl. I don't really pay attention. I don't even know who's playing, but I know the event exists, and I know about when it happens. It's usually like the first couple weeks of February, the last week in January, usually somewhere in that range. So I'm guessing it's coming up Sunday, but I don't know 100%. But one of the things that people actually pay a lot of attention to during the Super Bowl isn't so much the game itself, but the advertisements that happen during the Super Bowl. And the reason is because, well, they're some of the better ones that are produced, because there's a ton of people watching the Super Bowl. It's one of the most watched events.
Is this the one where they spend like millions of dollars on
per
ads?
Second,
like,
or whatever?
Yeah.
This is the one.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. Because you're hitting a huge audience of people. This is like the most watched television event of the year, probably of the planet, but certainly inside the United States. It's very, very highly watched. And so it is the most expensive advertising you can buy on television. And now apparently cryptocurrency companies like Crypto.com and a couple of exchanges, FTX and Coinbase, are booking commercial time during the most watched media event of the year. This according to Protocol.com. Oh, and here's who's playing. The Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals will be playing at SoFi Stadium, which is another player in crypto buying, and the point-of-sale systems at the venue are run by Square, whose parent company renamed itself Block to emphasize its push into Bitcoin. but you won't get any relief after the Super Bowl ends either. Crypto's advertising push is just getting started. There have been Safe Moon billboards in Times Square, Bitcoin ads on Hong Kong trams, and even crypto promos inside of fortune cookies. It's just going to grow as crypto exchanges make a grab for mainstream customers.
You know, I remember Dash having an ad on a plane.
JetBlue.
Yeah, back in the day. But I haven't seen anything super recently. I think there was a Wendy's had some advertising like on screen in a Wendy's at one point that I saw, but I haven't really seen.
You mean a crypto company had an ad in a Wendy's?
Like Wendy's was advertising the price of Bitcoin or, I don't know, something like that, right? In like on their Wendy's channel or something. It was kind of weird, but but I haven't really seen too much other advertising since then.
Well, you also don't, you know, get out into the advertising world, and neither do I.
Nah,
I don't watch
not.
Television. I mean, but every now and then we hear about
things. Right, absolutely.
And we did hear about the Crypto.com ads. We actually discussed them. We played it on the air a few weeks ago where Matt Damon is walking through this sort of computer-generated set, and as he's walking through, there's like astronauts.
Oh yeah, I saw
and
that.
And there's, you know, like somebody on a big ship, like one of the Discovery kind of ships from back in the day,
yep.
And like all these sort of epic things that have happened in history. And he, you know, says fortune favors the brave, and it's an advertisement for a crypto exchange called crypto.com. And the ad got ripped up in the mainstream media. There were people that were really critical of it. I thought it was cool. Like, you know, I thought, oh, okay, hey, Matt Damon, he's a name. They hired this guy, and turns out Matt Damon's actually into crypto, apparently. And I'm not going to say that buying cryptocurrency is on the level of walking on the moon necessarily, but, you know, it can make a difference.
Ad, people. Yeah. I mean, like, seriously.
Well, I guess Elon Musk is holding a lot of cryptocurrency, so buying cryptocurrency might lead to people walking on the moon.
Could be. And it certainly can be a life-changing event. It can be something that could lead to you becoming more wealthy in the future.
This is kind of an interesting one. I mean, I don't want to say it was done. I don't think it was done in poor taste so much, but I don't necessarily know that I thought it was the greatest ad ever. But I definitely think that what the messaging was like that this is revolutionary. That messaging I thought was spot on.
And that's what a lot of people were criticizing about it, but a lot of people still don't understand crypto.
Right.
So of course they're going to criticize the thing they don't understand. Now, the Super Bowl takeover is drawing comparisons to the year 2000's dot-com bowl, when a fifth of the ad space during the game then went to internet startups. A lot of those companies went bust, of course, as many have pointed out. That said, the Super Bowl is, quote, the single most efficient media buy on the planet. The number of impressions delivered in that period of time is unmatched by any other standard and by any other media opportunity out there. That's hard to believe. Like that these very expensive ads are the most efficient of all advertising.
It's probably
how many of these people are sober and wearing shirts though?
Great question.
I mean, it's probably got something to do with the price point. I mean, it's like bulk advertising, right? Like you're getting a bulk rate effectively.
Right, you're getting a completely scattershot across no demographic, you know, no specific demographics.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just getting whoever's watching.
Well, sports
the Super
fans,
Bowl.
But
everybody but us.
A lot of people watch.
That's true.
A lot of people watch the Super Bowl who aren't sports fans.
That's true too.
Super Bowl ads are famously expensive, going up to $7 million for a 30-second slot this year because of their reach. It's not a surprise that they are sold out. Last year's ads generated over 6.3 billion impressions, 26 million online views, and 64 billion social impressions. And let me skip down here a little bit. So they're talking about the different brands that are going to be advertising. Gemini, FTX, Crypto.com, Binance, apparently. So several of these major players in the cryptocurrency exchange sphere are going to be weighing in here. Binance is mocking its rivals with a celebrity ad campaign that attacks celebrity ad campaigns. Basketball player Jimmy Butler and musician J Balvin tell viewers to do their own research. But it's not just TV ads. Crypto.com has now scored the naming rights to LA's what was formerly known as the Staples Center. Staples is out, and Crypto.com is now in. So it's now the Crypto.com Center in Los Angeles, which cost them $700 million for that sponsorship. Crypto exchange FTX inked a $135 million and $17.5 million deals for the naming rights to the Miami Heat's arena and the field at California Memorial Stadium, while other crypto firms are also partnering with sports leagues in sponsorship deals. So we're really in an interesting place right now, right? Where, you know, several years ago, like you said, Dash was the only organization doing this. And by the way, Dash is a decentralized autonomous organization, and they are the first decentralized autonomous organization, and they're a successful one because they still exist.
Definitely.
But they were doing advertising on, like, I think they had like a race car, or they had a like a racing jet or something like that at one point. They had the JetBlue ads that ran like as you were taking off, they would play on the back seats.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that at one point.
I know Matt, my roommate, had seen it. He called me once. He's like, dude, I just saw a Dash advertisement.
I've regularly, I forget where, but one of the destinations I go every year, or well, I was before COVID, was I always fly JetBlue. So it probably was.
You saw it then. Yeah,
I probably saw it.
And those are interesting. Like, that's a cool advertising campaign. You're getting in front of an individual's eyes. They are captive audience, whereas during the Super Bowl, it's like, how many people are paying attention during the ads? They're taking a break. They're in the bathroom. They're getting some chips or whatever. So, you know, you're not getting all 6 million or 60 million or however many viewers that there are.
They're vomiting.
Are you sure about that? I feel like the most of these people are watching these ads.
A lot of people like to watch the ads.
Yeah,
that's true. They're very entertaining.
And I feel like people watch the ads who didn't watch the Super Bowl, too.
There are those people, too. Yeah,
so,
that's true.
But I don't know what these numbers are, actually, statistically.
But it's interesting that we're in this place now where cryptocurrency is so big that a lot of these companies are now figuring, all right, we're just going to advertise to everyone. We're going to advertise to sports fans. We're going to advertise to people who are drunk. We're going to advertise to... We've got so much money. We've got $700 million extra. Let's buy an entire sports stadium sponsorship for, you know, 5 years or however many years that gets you.
I just wish that there would be more promotion to businesses to accept cryptocurrencies. Because I think that's really where
first
it's
you've got to get people to believe in and to buy into and to want. Because why is a business going to accept something that no one's asking them to accept?
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
There's that.
And the other thing is, if business owners want crypto,
well,
the easiest way to get it
is to accept it.
So make them want it,
more
and they'll accept it.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And we're going to get into the story that I actually wanted to start the show with here tonight about the latest from the Freedom Convoy up in Ottawa, where the Ontario government goons, specifically a man named Doug Ford, and you may recognize that name because he is the brother of the crack-smoking, now-deceased mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford. You remember that story?
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Well, guess what? His brother's an a-hole, too, and he's also a politician.
Yeah.
In fact, he's the premier of the Ontario province. So we'll talk about that a little bit here, but also I do want to make sure that you know about Give Directly. We're doing a fundraiser for some very, very poor people in extreme poverty in Bemet and Kilifi counties in Kenya. You can contribute over at give.freetalklive.com. They give directly. It's organization's called Give Directly. They give directly to people in need, and they find that that actually helps them by allowing them to make their own decisions, helps them get employment, nutrition, health, and education into their lives. And if you prefer the idea of people choosing for themselves how to spend their money, then we're going to back you up by doubling your donation, matching your donations over at give.freetalklive.com up to a total of $30,000. That's give.freetalklive.com. Thank you in advance, and thank you to everybody who has contributed thus far to that fundraiser. So the truckers are still there. They're still throwing parties in the streets. There's still dancing going on. There's still a lot of fun being had. But boy, the government gang, they are making a big deal out of this. And they are threatening. And they're getting violent. And they're arresting people. And they're going to take this thing to the next level. So even though the very same politician that I'm about to play audio from, Doug Ford, on the very same day announced that he's planning to remove the vaccine passport system, planning to quote unquote go back to normal, according to a secretly recorded phone call with this guy. So on one hand, he's going to remove the restrictions, supposedly. But on the other hand, here's what he had to say.
Today, I'm using my authority as Premier of Ontario to declare a state of emergency in our province. And I will convene cabinet to use legal authorities to urgently enact orders that will make crystal clear it is illegal and punishable to block and impede the movement of goods, people, and services along critical infrastructure. This will include protecting international border crossings, 400 series highways, airports, ports, bridges, and railways.
Just curious, does Canada not have disorderly conduct statutes?
I'm pretty sure that even if they don't have disorderly conduct statutes, they have a law that would
like, I think they make just call it mischief.
Make it illegal to interfere with like the regular course of traffic, right? Like you can't just stop your car on the major highway, even in Canada.
Right. I mean, that's what definition of disorderly conduct. So, like, why does he need a state of emergency to do these things? I mean, these are things that have been prohibited in Western systems forever.
It's probably because he's trying to ramp up the like power. You know, he wants more power.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
That's probably what it comes down to. I mean, it's probably not, and he probably in kind of effectively doesn't have that power because it will look bad if he does do something. So like, he's just kind of like, I don't know, trying to scare people into going away or leaving or something.
That could be, and maybe he's hoping to try to, you know, play this from both ends, right? On one hand, we're going to get rid of the vaccine passports. On the other hand, okay, we're coming down with a crackdown, so y'all leave now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's doing. Anyway, it's definitely tyranny. We're going to go on.
It will also include protecting the safe and essential movement of ambulatory and medical services.
Who have not been prohibited from moving around, by the way. I mean, there's open lanes. Every image, every video I've seen from these protests with the truckers occupying lanes of the streets, there's always one open lane.
Yep. Yeah, they actually, the truckers were fully cooperative and the protesters were fully cooperative of ensuring that ambulances could get from one place to another. Right. What they were trying to suggest is so ridiculous. This is not what they're making it out to be.
Public transit, municipal and provincial roadways, as well as pedestrian walkways. Fines for noncompliance will be severe, with a maximum penalty of $100,000 and up to a year imprisonment.
Wow.
We will also provide additional authority to consider taking away the personal and commercial licenses of anyone who doesn't comply with these orders.
I mean, this sounds like he's justifying, people taking up arms against the government, you know? When you start taking away people's livelihoods or throwing them in a cage for a year, that goes beyond, you know, peaceful, you know, assembly. I mean, that's a point in which you probably should be taking up arms. I'm not advocating for it.
I just want
to be clear. I'm not advocating for it, but I'm just saying, like, there is a point in which you can't continue to go along.
People are going
to
break if you push. Right? If you push them too far, people are going to snap. Although, as you say, violence is not the solution. That's
definitely
what the
not.
Government does.
But the whole point that I'm making is that the government is pushing people to act violently.
They do. They do.
And they're
not
acting violently.
Well, they want that. They want that. They want you
to get
violent.
Right, because they want to be able to justify their own violence.
Correct. And then it'll just, see, these truckers are violent. Now we need to really crack down.
I mean, they've already been saying they're violent.
But that actually hasn't happened.
Right, I know. Right? That's the whole point.
Yeah, there's been zero violence at these rallies except that which the police have brought.
Correct.
Mm.
This will not impede the rights of Ontarians to peacefully protest. It will provide additional tools to help stop the illegal occupation of Ottawa and the Ambassador Bridge in Windsor. While these emergency orders will be temporary, we have every intention to bring new legislation forward.
Just 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah, right. up to $100,000 fine for what exactly? Hanging out in downtown Ottawa and you know, being in a truck or something. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how
carrying bottles of water effectively, because that's what they've already
gasoline cans.
But people have been putting water in them because of the absurdity of, you know, people being arrested for it.
I wonder if they're going to end up charging people for just having water in those bottles simply for, you know, like essentially forcing the police to, you know, question them and to harass them and waste their time.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. I suspect they probably are arresting people for with water in it. And that's something that, you know, that'll be something for the courts to figure out, right? And it doesn't even matter because, honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter whether there is or is not. They just need the excuse because what they're trying to do is they're trying to cause disruption, right? They're trying to take people off the street. And that's just their excuse for doing so. Because even if there is gas in it, right, is that actually a crime? And I'm highly doubting that it's actually a crime under Canadian law. I mean, think about it. People need to put gas in the containers for lawnmowers, if their car runs out of gas down the road.
Yeah, until they're pouring the gas into the trucker's tank, then, you know, and even then, how is that a crime?
Right, exactly. It's probably not. So that's why it's just
you're saying this whole thing is legally suspect.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, we're going to see what happens here. We're definitely going to keep an eye on this situation. Again, tomorrow will be the official two-week mark, although many of the drivers started on Friday 2 weeks ago. So I tend to count Friday as the two-week marker here. So we're entering into the third week now of this protest, and the government has been ramping up their violence and ramping up the enforcement. They've been taking people's firewood. They've been taking gasoline. They've been prohibiting people from putting up bouncy houses.
Has anybody...
They've been taking the bouncy houses?
They prohibited some dudes from putting a bouncy house up today. Yeah, there was a video I saw of that.
I believe it.
Good God.
I am curious as to whether or not...
How can you take a man's bouncy house? That's low.
I'm very curious as to whether or not this protest has actually grown as a reaction to the government's actions, as opposed to because if I was in Canada, I would absolutely be going up there, right, and partaking in this. Especially
if I could get there, I'd be there now.
You know, even if some of us can't go to Canada,
persona non grata in Canada.
Yes, that was prior to I believe Ian you the raid, correct?
Oh yeah. No, nobody and I can't go in because we've got criminal convictions. Nobody sold some weed at some point. And I stood in front of a police car, which you also did, nobody. And,
I did that, too.
They don't like it when you do that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I hope there's more people, you know, getting on board now, you know, especially now, you know, even if you didn't early on.
Come on out. It's the weekend. It's a perfect opportunity to head up to the Capitol there in Canada and show your support for the drivers who are still sticking it out, heroically sticking it out up there.
Maybe we can get some truckers to come chill down at the New Hampshire border crossing. We could go.
Oh, there's already talks.
We could go there. So
I think there's already talks about that.
Well, hopefully tomorrow night we are going to have Reed Coverdale, who is a libertarian truck driver who hosts his own podcast. We'll talk to him and see what's going on in the USA Freedom Convoy tomorrow night, hopefully right at the beginning of the show. See you then.
Sounds good.